What's up, guys? Clint Sparks here, and this is the It's Content Podcast, and I suggest you get familiar. I can tell who's on the way out. 25 shows, check the payout. I ain't going home, I'm gonna stay out. Motherfuckers hate you when they looking for a way out. I just sit back and let it play out. Get familiar. Get familiar. We're getting familiar today, man, with Clinton Sparks in the building. Thanks for coming today, Clinton. I appreciate
live?
It. We're live. That's how we dive right in.
So we're not going to fix this fucking rickety table. Look at this shit.
This is all we can afford in Braintree.
My chair leg is about to fall off.
It's still broke, man. We're still broke. We're getting there,
sell some more subs, man, instead of fucking joking about them.
No, it's funny. People actually think we work at the deli, which is hilarious. Yeah. Are you one of those people?
Yeah, you don't work at the deli.
No, we don't work at the deli.
No, I thought you owned it, to be honest, is what I thought.
That would have been cool.
If we should have ran with that.
Maybe a Prosciutto Poppy's deli one day. That would be cool.
I was hoping that there'd be a sub here. And I thought that you guys were connoisseurs of subs. And when I say, where's a sub, you tell me you had some fucking salads.
Honestly, though, like,
you guys don't
honest.
Look like two guys that eat salads.
Today we did, though.
Today we did.
We switched it up. We're trying to lose weight. We got the, no, I just had steak tips. Dom's steak tips.
Last night.
Yeah, but no, we're on the health kick right now. We're at Equinox trying to lose some weight, feeling good.
Protein shakes and shit like that.
Yeah, the good stuff.
Don't fuck with the whey.
You don't like whey? I think that's exactly what they put in the shake today.
Well, you can get plant-based.
Plant-based. Let's do one thing at a time. Let's eat healthy first, then we'll go to the plants.
There's no difference in flavor. You just delete the whey.
I listened to a podcast you did, and you were talking about how you're a very healthy person by dietary standards, right? Like you don't drink, right? You don't do drugs.
I never drank alcohol. I never did drugs.
Your diet look like? Do you have a diet, or you just kind of eat whatever?
I don't know if you guys know, but I was a host on E! News for five years. So I started doing that in 08. Prior to that, I'm just in my basement in Boston working on beats all the time. So I don't give a fuck what I look like. I didn't even think about if I'm in shape or not. I'm just eating chicken parm all day and pound of pasta and brownie blast sundaes. Nice. Powdered iced tea and Coke.
No, I get it, man. I get it.
And plus, I grew up that way. We grew up on Hostess. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yep. So, shout out to the Hostess Factory in Braintree.
Hostess Factory,
in 08, I see myself on TV for the first time. I was like, holy shit, I look like a fucking slob. And overnight, cold turkey, cut out sugar, carbs. And I literally, for 2 years, ate 2 scrambled eggs with tomato and spinach in the morning, 6 rolled up pieces of turkey for lunch, and a small chicken breast with broccoli for dinner. Damn. And my only snack was 6 saltines with 3 pieces of cheese I'd turn into sandwiches.
And
I lost too much weight.
Too much.
Yeah. And all my friends thought, because I started working in Hollywood, that I was doing coke because I got so skinny. Damn. So, when you're that skinny, you don't realize you're that skinny.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the same thing as when you're fat. You guys can let me know. But anyways.
I definitely get reminders daily for sure. No, it's crazy. How did you just cold turkey cut it out? That's just the kind of
It's just
I feel like that's not like a normal thing. You just cold turkey cutting shit out. Like a normal person wouldn't be able to do that.
I don't know. I'm a normal person. I did it. So
saltine crackers, huh?
Yeah.
Maybe we should try that out for the next 4 weeks.
Dude, you fucking die for the first two, and you only drink water, but you drink a lot of water.
Yeah,
right. So it might be you'll die the first 6-8 weeks.
Yeah,
you're fucking always hungry. You're always hungry.
It's still always hungry.
I heard this saying back then: nothing tastes better than skinny feels, and it actually felt good to be thin and light and agile, and your clothes look better on you. True. And
I came out of basic training in 2021. I felt like that. I was 190 ripped.
Yeah.
You know, I'm tack on a few pounds past year and a half. I mean, we've been living good though. Yeah. We've been doing a lot of fun, cool shit.
And by the way, it doesn't matter. Honestly, who cares how you look? It depends it's just who you are.
No, it's exactly. Like you were saying earlier, just be a good person. That's the number one thing. Really
I'm fucking with you guys about the weight and shit, but who gives a shit?
He's crying. He starts tearing up. You're in my feelings.
Some people look better. I have a friend that he went to lose weight, and I was like, you look better overweight.
The dad bods are in right now, though.
As long as you're not unhealthy with it, who cares? Everybody's awesome.
Live your life. Everyone live your life. Live your life. But thank you for coming. Enough of the weight talk. It's depressing me a little bit over here. Let's talk about Clinton Sparks.
By the way, me fucking with you guys like that about weight.
No, of course.
You can only do that in Boston.
No, you can only bust balls in Boston.
Dude, like when I first moved to LA, like everyone's like, whoa, dude, a little aggressive.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm just being, they don't get sarcasm as much.
Yeah, no,
I'm interested to go there. We've never been there.
Oh,
never
been to LA at all.
Yeah, yeah. Come out there, but you know, your sarcasm will go over a lot of heads and you'll be like, fuck man.
Why I feel like now that I know that I'm going to like try to retract it a little bit.
It already does hit with a good amount of people.
Sometimes it does.
Well, that's because Boston today isn't the same Boston that was when I was growing up.
Not at all.
And we all understood each other. We all had the same. It's now become a melting pot of so many different people coming from colleges and different industries and businesses coming here that like, I wonder if 10 years from now, will there even be a Boston accent anymore?
Shit, that's a good question.
That's true.
I don't know. I think that's definitely going to die out at some point.
It has to be, right? Because it's like all of us guys are getting old.
Yeah, we're going to fade
out. And then the new generation that's coming in is coming in from a social media, internet perspective, business. And it's like, no one's starving anymore.
You know, we're here to keep it alive. We're here to keep it alive as long as we can.
Everybody's starving. Yeah. Would you like to go get something to eat?
I wanted to ask you, since obviously you grew up in Dorchester, correct? So something we like to start off with, or we want to start off with, was we're both 24. So where were you when you were 24 years old? What situation were you in?
That was literally probably around the turning point of my life when I started getting my life together. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, I was, the years leading up to that, I was homeless and kind of getting out of my being a thug era of like stealing cars, robbing houses and stuff like that. And it was around that, it was around like 22 to 24 where I looked in the paper, which is something you guys don't do.
Nope.
I looked in the back of the paper for a job and UPS was hiring.
Wow.
Shout out to Biz Markie.
He's a post
office,
ex-post office guy right now.
Yeah. So I went and got a job at UPS and that was the beginning of, you know, I've always been a hustler, like having a million part-time jobs, whether it's a moving company, warehouse,
something,
you know, busboy, working at D'Angelo's, like all those kind of jobs. So I've always been a hustler, but when I never had a full-time job. Mm-hmm. And then I got UPS as a full-time job. And the same hustle I applied to doing wrong in the world, I applied to doing right. And I just became a fucking killer employee. Like,
so yeah, you found those traits in yourself, doing the wrong things, but then applying it to be successful eventually.
Yeah, like for instance, when I was there, like the veterans would load three trucks off the conveyor belt. So the way the conveyor belts come down, packages come, you sign the address, you put it in the right place in the truck to load it for the delivery drivers. I got so good at my job, they made an island with six trucks and I would train new employees.
Damn.
So I've always been a workaholic, whether it was for being bad, whether it was doing music, but then I just transferred, you know, how can I rob this dude? Or how can I get away with this thing to now doing legitimate work.
Yeah, no, that is crazy too, because like UPS, for example, it's such a big company, like that's huge, and you're working your balls off there and they're probably like underpaying you a shit ton too.
That was an awesome job. I was like, I forget what it was at the time, but I want to say $80,000 a year. This is like 2000.
They just got like a big raise, UPS.
Oh yeah, I just saw
this,
that.
This is like 98. Yeah. So it was like $80,000 a year plus full benefits, plus you can retire in 20 years.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is the fucking best job anyone could get that never went to college. Like I didn't finish high school.
Yeah.
So I was like, to get a job like that was sick. By the way, if I didn't hurt my spine and have to get spinal surgery, I would probably be the CEO of UPS today. Because I would go to work and supervisors would literally be like, punch in, and then we'd go golfing. You know what I mean? So like I was getting tight with the supervisors and the regional managers and all the top people, plus my work ethic. So now looking back at myself and seeing what I've accomplished throughout my career, there's no way I would have not become the top person at UPS.
It is kind of crazy to look, even for us, like I've only been doing what I do for 3 years now. Mm-hmm. And even looking back to when I first started, not really knowing what the fuck I'm doing, to now with all the knowledge I've gained. And I graduated high school. I dropped out of college. I never took business or anything, but I've learned just from talking to the right people and even like TikTok and YouTube, like business hacks and tips, like opening up an LLC, doing taxes, all that. I never had to do any of that. So just looking where I was in 2020 to now, like owning a couple of my own businesses and trying to build it up like the entrepreneurial route, it's like I almost look back and I'm like, how the fuck did like certain things fall in place for me to learn how to do this without having that college background or having like mentors to look up to? Because my parents are working class people. They're both blue collar. My dad's a postman. My mother has worked three jobs her whole life. Right. So it is kind of crazy to kind of look at the position we're in and be like, damn, we're going up with it, which is cool.
I'm wondering how the fuck this table's still standing up.
Yeah,
still
I'm like leaning on it too. It's like going back and forth.
This is like the shopping cart with two bad wheels.
Right.
Yeah. Fuck, man.
Was, well, tell me about...
You can see why the dinner table's out of the house.
Right. Tell me about your childhood, where you grew up.
A lot of places. All Dorchester, up until 13.
The Dirty Dog.
Monsignor Lydon Way, which used to be called Templeton Street, Florida Street, Witten Street, Adams Street, King Street. Lived all there. Then my dad lived in Upham's Corner.
Mm-hmm.
So it was right behind the Strand Theater.
Okay,
so,
damn.
So those are my stomping grounds a little bit too.
That's dope.
But yeah, then I went to St. Anne's in Dorchester. And then I moved to High Park when I was 13. Lived in Georgetown houses. Then I was, doing too much dirt and getting arrested too much. My mom was sick of getting me from the police station. Mm-hmm. So she sent me to my dad, who I never lived with since I was three, to the suburbs in Randolph.
Okay.
Which is a huge culture shock for me because I'm a city kid, hip hop kid. I move out there. All the white kids hated me because, back then I was a wannabe to them. But to the girls, I looked like MTV. So
that's funny. A-list. A-list.
Yeah, I go out there with an Adidas tracksuit and a gold rope, dookie rope. And like, they're just like, oh my God, who's that kid?
I know all the dudes hated you.
Because back then, there was like, certain social groups and like those, there was like the jocks and the headbangers and the da-da-da. And the headbangers were like the hick kids that listen to like heavy metal music. Yep. So like, all those kids hated me because I was what they would call a wannabe back then. There's another word too, but
wannabe,
it's not politically correct to say anymore.
Yeah.
But not that it ever was.
Well,
but,
I say, we probably say so much politically incorrect shit.
Isn't that fucking crazy? Like how we can't just say like shit.
Just
that,
things that are on your mind. It's funny
too, because Boston, like we'll say words that are super offensive, but we don't mean any offense by it.
Yeah,
but it's hard to say that to somebody because the word's offensive anyhow.
Yeah.
So how can you not be offensive?
I didn't realize how bad of like a communicator I am until I started dating my now girlfriend for the last 2 years. She's grew up in Hingham, which is like a suburb, obviously. And she grew up in a much different household than me. Like I grew up in a triple decker in East Boston, like my nana on the first floor, me and my parents on the second, and then my brother on the third. So it was always people in and out of my house, fights, chaos, all that. So, it's like you can have three or four people talking at the same time, but you still could take in the whole conversation or like talking over others and things like that. Like, that doesn't register.
And like we were saying out there earlier, like, we're just passionate, but people outside of Boston think we're angry.
Yeah, right.
So I'm like, guys, let's just go. And then it's like, I'm not mad. I'm just, let's just fucking go.
Yeah,
and I came up with this concept recently because everywhere I go, people, especially out in Hollywood, people say like, all you Boston guys, you're so resilient. Like you figure it out, right?
Yeah.
And they go, and you're just so matter of fact. They go, what is it about? What's in the water out
matter
there?
Matter of like, fact.
What is it? Like, why are you guys so like? And I was like, I realized recently why we might all be the same. And it's this. We're so used to this. What the fuck? What do you want to do?
Right? Yeah.
We're so like, just fucking talk. Let's go. It's fucking freezing out here.
Yeah,
right?
True.
We're so used to that.
Yeah.
Like, that I think we apply that to everything in life. Where it's just like, just get to the fucking point, man. Let's just go. Straight, figure it out.
Yeah, that's
true. And like people just want to be like, so I was thinking that maybe, and I'm just, it drives me fucking crazy. Like, fuck the pleasantries. Just tell me what you need. Let's go. There's only so much time.
I heard too, like people will talk about an idea they have and they'll just talk about it for months and months, but it's like, just fucking do
it.
Just dive into it.
Business I'm a part of, I literally cut to the chase.
Just do it.
Everyone's talking like, great, this all sounds amazing. I love your idea. That's amazing too. Da, da, da. Here's what we need to do. Here's what I want. Here's what it's going to take to get there. What do you guys want to get it done? And I need it done by next week. That's all I want is the answers to those.
What do we do next?
Right. And then call me when you have those answers.
Right.
Like, it's like, cut to the chase, man. Like, too much. We all got families. We all got shit to do. And even if we don't want to be doing this.
Right.
So I think that's why us in Boston are so matter of fact to the point that sometimes feels aggressive.
Yeah.
Just like, just fucking tell me what you need, dude. And it's the only other city, too, where it's like, somebody will do something fucking stupid and you'll be like, you fucking idiot. But you'll still go over and help them fix it.
Right.
And then when you're done, you'll be like, now stop being a fucking idiot. Don't break it again.
Right.
Or like you'll knock somebody out and then pick them back up and say, let's go get a beer now, you dick.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen.
You can't do that in other places. Do you feel like Boston is a tougher place to come out of in like the entertainment space?
Well, that's difficult to ask me because I succeeded from here.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Also at a time where it was very different for me than you guys.
Yeah.
There wasn't social media. There wasn't the internet. There wasn't, I couldn't DM people. I couldn't collaborate and grab their audience.
You couldn't have your videos just pop up on their phone.
Yeah, there's no algorithms or feeds.
What was your strategy back then to get your
personally
stuff out
getting
there?
In your face
yeah.
and telling you in that Boston manner why you need to get familiar with me in like 30 seconds.
And you started with mixtapes, right? That was your first venture?
No, my first venture was around 13 years old. With the help of my mother, I started our first company called Rent-A-Teen, which sounds super perverted now.
Rent-A-Teen? Wait, at 13, you started your first company?
Yeah. So what it was is we would, I'd get all the teens in the neighborhood and we'd get like, shovel your driveway, take out your trash, go shop and clean your house, wash your car. And we get all those accounts and then we hire other kids and then take a nick off that. So that was my first.
Smart though, especially shoveling back in the day, bro. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I didn't know this at the time because the word entrepreneur wasn't a thing that we talked about back when I was a kid. But looking back now, I was very entrepreneurial.
Hustler, for sure.
That's what we call it.
Hustling for
it. It was really entrepreneurial.
It was, for sure.
Like even in high school, I remember seeing junior or senior year, I called Water Country and I said, how much are tickets to come to Water Country? They were like $44. And I was like, how many people do I have to bring to significantly bring that price down? And they were like, if you bring 40 people, we'll knock it down to $27.50 each.
Damn.
So I went and I did the senior skip day and I charged everybody $30. So I made $250 off everybody.
Damn. Just like that.
That's smart. Yeah. And it was like, so I'm saving you guys $14, but I'm making $250. And I remember when one of the kids found out at school, the whole school fucking hated me. He's like, you fucking ripped us off.
Was this the Randolph school?
And I also, it was Randolph.
Yeah, so fuck him anyway.
Yeah. But I realized then that most people aren't that bright and most people don't understand common sense smart business moves. It's like, instead of being happy that I saved you $14 each, created a fucking memory that we're all going to have forever and did a great vacation that day. You're worried that I fucking made $250 off you. Mm-hmm. You're a loser and you'll never fucking win.
Right.
Right. And I don't mean to be a dick about it, but like, that's a loser mentality. Like you should have like, you would have cost us $44. You saved us $14. Right. You deserve
you
that.
You did all the fucking work.
Right. Yeah. Right. But like, literally. But even if you look at society as a whole, most people think like those guys that are mad that I made $250 and not the fact that I saved them $14.
Just finding something wrong in everything.
Never, yeah, that's one thing from here though.
Find like a very victim mentality.
Everyone's like that here.
Yeah. Can you fucking believe this guy made $250? That is a Boston mentality.
No, it is. Anything you do, it's always something. It's like, yeah, that's cool. But then there's this. Even just like, just parents.
Well, you can never
grandmas.
Do enough for motherfuckers here either.
Well, even
like,
about
your friends, whatever you do.
Of course.
Yeah, but like I have friends that, you know, I've loaned $1,000 here, $200 there. And it's like, all right, this is the last time, bro. Like, get your fucking shit together. And then like when I don't give it to them that last time, I'm an asshole now.
Right. No, you can only help people so much. And then, but at the end of the day, like I look at what we're doing as in people like yourself and other people have made it out of here. It's like, we're trying to show people that there's more than just like going to work a blue collar job or go to college. Like there's other options to get there. And we're trying to show you that, but people will hate on that too. Like, oh, look at them like trying to be something they're not or whatever.
So back to your question about, do I think it's difficult to make it out of here? One, you should never worry about those people, like ever. And the analogy I use for that all the time too is if you're playing football and your goal is to get to the end zone and you have the football in your hand and you're practicing every day, you're watching tapes, you've been playing football for years, like this is the thing you do, you know what your fucking goal is. It's to get in the end zone, get a touchdown, win the game so you can go to the World Super Bowl and win. Mm-hmm. So if you're running down the field with the football in your hand and some asshole in the audience, in the stands, yells, fuck you, fucking Tommy, you fuck. Right? Are you going to put the football down and get mad and go deal with that guy?
Of course not.
Who gives a fuck about that guy? That's not part of my plan.
Sure.
And he doesn't know how hard I worked and he doesn't know my goals. He probably ain't even fucking achieving half the goals that I'm achieving.
True.
So why the fuck would I stop and alter my plan that I've been working hard on to focus on to worry about this idiot? So I think one, that's the biggest thing that people need to do is not worry about other people. Well, the first thing is make a realistic plan. You right. Know. And there's a difference between an idea and a plan. A lot of people got ideas.
Right.
Not many people have a plan. Right. So when you make that plan with realistic milestones of how to get to that end zone, then you got to stay focused on that and check that off. Right. You can't let other people's ideas or opinions. Now, not everybody, because there's going to be some smart people that come around that might make give you good advice that helps alter your plan to get there faster, mm-hmm. or what to avoid on your journey to completing this plan. But like, you can't listen to people that haven't done the things that you're trying to do, mm-hmm. right? And 100%. That's what most people do. Like, they'll go to their parent or their friend. What do you think? It's like, why are you asking? That motherfucker doesn't know.
Right.
You know
what I'm saying?
Like, don't ask them. So that's another mistake a lot of people make. But specifically making it out of here, every city has the same problems, mm-hmm. but every city thinks it's just their city that yeah. has these problems. Oh man, I wish I lived where you live. My city, everyone hates, same thing there.
Same thing, right.
No one helps, same thing there. Mm-hmm. No one believes, same thing
That's
there.
That's another thing I always hear people say is like, no one helps. No one wants to help. Yeah, no one wants to collaborate. Yeah,
it's like what?
Bro, make your own way, do your own thing, make your own connections. It's like, there's only so much people are gonna be able to help you too. It's like, obviously making connections and building a network is great because you never know when someone can help you down the line, yeah. or whatever it may be, but end of the day, everything we're doing and trying to build right now has been on our own.
What's going to help you is consistently putting out quality product, mm-hmm. and being a good person.
Yep.
That's what's going to help you, because now people are going to flock to you because they're going to see the content you're putting out and they're like, oh, I want to be a part of that. Or because you're a good person, they're going to want to help just because you're a good person.
Yeah.
So I mean, those are the things that helped me throughout my career. People just wanted to help just because they're like, oh, he's a good dude, let me just help.
Relationships, just be a dope person. I hear you always say that.
Just be a dick. That's what it comes down to. Yeah. And people's ego and greed are the two things that are problematic in almost everything that breaks down, whether it's a company or a relationship or a marriage. Those are the two things that break down almost everything in life. So if you can remove your personal emotions to the brand that you're making of yourself, your personal brand, mm-hmm. This is what I did when I started in 2000. Clinton Sparks was the company that I was the CEO of.
Yep.
It wasn't me. So when someone hated something that I did, I wasn't like, man, fuck them. I looked at it like, all right, this is good market research. They don't like this thing. Maybe I can improve on it. If someone loved it, it never went to my head like, yeah, I'm the shit. Because
I've never heard someone say that like that.
It's true though.
Like Tommy Guarino LLC is just a company. Like I'm myself. Like,
if you're the president of it, then what you can do is you can look at it from the outside, remove your emotions, what's working, what's not working. Mm. And then as an executive of this brand, you can say, I got to make some of these moves to change so that I can further what I'm doing. Damn. So I've done that from the beginning. Like, that's why I was always Clinton Sparks Get Familiar, because I was the company with the tagline.
Get Familiar. Right? Talk about that. I want to hear where did Get Familiar come from?
So when I first got, there was a radio station called Hot 97.7 here, mm-hmm. That came in to kind of compete with Jammin' 94.5. Prior to that, I was on Jammin' 94.5. I was on the morning show and my name was Stun Stud Clinton. So there was the Balthazar and Pebbles show.
Balthazar and Pebbles, yeah. I remember that.
So I was the guy on there that did the funny shit on the street.
Like were they doing jam scams back then?
Yeah, that's the same show.
What years? Like what year?
Late 90s.
Okay, damn.
Man, yeah. I was born in 99.
You were born in 99.
Yeah, both of us. Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
Crazy, right?
Yeah. You could be my sons.
For real. You could be my sons.
Tommy Sparks.
So I would like go out and do all the funny stuff. Like one of the skits I did was one morning, I had to work on Halloween night. So I was knocking on people's doors on the morning the day before, because I was like, I won't be able to come here tomorrow night to get the candy, so I'm doing trick-or-treating now.
That's good.
I was knocking on people's doors and trying to convince them to give me candy now. I got arrested.
Yeah, so you did like little,
I got arrested.
So you were like the Milk Boys before Milk Boys.
Yeah,
you did the prank before the prank.
I was Jackass before Jackass. When I was in high school, I used to take the video camera and get a pass all day from my communications teacher, and I'd run it. We'd be literally in shopping carriages from Shaw's, pushing each other into bushes and making fucking makeshift shit and, you know, running scams and pranking people inside, going to the bakery in Shaw's and acting like I was the baker when no one was there. And then when someone came back and asked for donuts, I'd tell them, we don't fucking make those shits here.
Damn,
and like,
bro,
they think I'm really the employee.
That's funny. My buddy's over there filming
behind the bread. Kind of like, we were doing all that shit. If the internet was alive when I was young, I would have been successful
viral,
doing that probably.
Been viral,
right?
Man.
Isn't that crazy?
And by the way, back then, see, we were doing it just because it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
People do shit. People are chasing fame.
Right.
And that's the problem. Like, I was chasing great my whole life.
100%.
And you may have heard this quote of mine, but famous doesn't make you great, but great can make you famous.
Yep.
So if you focus on the great, the fame is a byproduct of being fucking great. You think Beyonce or Oprah Winfrey or Kobe Bryant was out here like, sure hope I get a bunch of fucking followers.
No, you can't focus on that.
No, aiming on being great. And the fame and success was a byproduct of being great. So that's what most people don't focus on. They're like, yo, here's a perfect example. Every rapper that approaches me, it's like, yo, man, if we just connect, I'll make you billions. You already got the fucking wrong mentality.
Right.
What, like, first of all, what rapper made billions? You're the first. So one, you're unrealistic with what you're even talking about, and your approach is fucking whack. You know what I'm saying? It's all transactional. It's all money. It's all, everybody I've ever worked with, DJ Snake, when I first met and discovered DJ Snake in 07 at a basement party in Paris.
Damn.
Right? He could hardly even speak English.
That's crazy.
And he comes to me like, is I got the beats on the CD.
He talks like that?
Yeah. I'm a big fan of your Clips mixtape and da da da. So like, he wasn't like, it wasn't desperation. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, I need you. Right. It wasn't like, I'm the best ever.
Yeah,
it was respectful. Kid. It was like, I respect what you do. I think what I'm doing is pretty dope. Maybe you'll agree. Maybe you won't. But here, check it out. If you like it, let's maybe do something together. Right?
That's all it is. Yeah, that's how we approach every situation. It's just like that.
You just said about the money, though. How true is that? Especially here, it's all just, everyone's just money, money, money.
Everyone's worried about money.
Not even like true happiness, you know what I mean?
We just do what we're passionate about. What makes me happy is writing up these scripts, directing and acting and doing in podcasts. And I love podcasts, and we want to do something with like a live performance talent show kind of thing where we're judges, like stuff like that. Yeah. So we have all these different ideas, but it's never like, oh, we need to do this so we can make X amount by this month. Like, it's like,
let me give you guys a tip, right?
Let's hear it.
All right, bend over.
Oh, no. I was actually going to do it too.
Just to give you a tip, guys. But what I would highly encourage, because I'm starting to recognize how many content creators are out here in Boston now. Like, I've seen you guys, I've seen that kid Mark, I've seen this other girl Maggie, like, and there's probably more that I don't know about. But what makes a city divisive is everybody like jealous of each other or hating on each other or like, man, fuck what they're doing over there. If you guys come together, you become Wu-Tang, right? And everybody loves Wu-Tang more than just fucking RZA by himself. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying? So like, when you can unite and find ways to collaborate and support, like, I don't want to bring specific names. Let's say I'm a content creator.
Yeah,
if you guys just randomly reposted mine on your story, that's a boss move.
For sure.
That's a
sure.
boss fucking move.
It is.
That you just like are supporting other motherfuckers. It's with no agenda.
Genuine love.
You're genuinely doing it because you care about what you claim to care about, which is the city.
Yep.
If you care about the city, then you care and support other motherfuckers that are in this city too. If you don't care and support them, then you don't care about the city. You care about you representing the city.
Yeah, we are. I mean, I feel like with what we do in the deli and stuff and its content, the media company we're trying to build up right now, I feel like we integrate other creators from around
here.
Last
night, how many did we have?
We had five, six people there last night. So we try to bring the team together. The thing too, and this isn't directed at anyone specific, but different people's energy that gets brought in, if they're not bringing in the right energy, we cut that off.
That makes sense.
And we've been in situations where we've collaborated with other creators and athletes, whatever it may be, and they don't bring the right energy, or they're bringing a different approach, or they're trying, you know, whatever it may be, that's bringing negativity, that gets cut out right away.
That's different. You tried.
100%.
It didn't work.
100%.
Right?
But I agree, a team works better than a single person, for 100%. Sure.
And that's how you uplift the entire city. Because guess what happens? When the whole city supports each other, like in Atlanta, or like other cities around the country, everyone starts looking at that city.
We talk about that all the time with, like, even went down to Louisville. Like, we told you, we're big fans of Jack.
Yeah.
We went down there because we're tight with Devontae Parker on the Patriots. So we had a football camp down there. So he invited us to come down and just seeing how much they support, even just like a local little football camp down there. Like, all the people come out for it.
Yeah.
When they have a local show down there for one of the artists, they all come out for it. It's just the community seems a lot more put together there than even somewhere like Boston, where people might look at Boston and be like, oh, that's like, you know, it's known for like the loyalty in the sports and like everyone's tight knit around that. But there is also a lot of hate here too. And there's a lot of people that don't want to collaborate and want to kind of like that jealousy plays more of a factor here than other places, I feel like. But again, like you said, to your point earlier though, like, it's not just your city though either. Like,
no, that shit happens in other places. It happens in every city, but like to your point about Boston, there is maybe a little bit more of like kind of hating and jealousy when there shouldn't be.
Yeah.
You know, it's, Boston's an amazing city. There's a lot of fucking dope talent here. There's a lot of resources. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of attention. There's a lot of money here too. And a lot of people don't take advantage of that in the right way.
Right.
They look, I'm not saying everybody, but there's too many like, you know, help me or a handout as opposed to like my whole career when I was coming up, I've never asked anybody for anything. Even when I was popping in the mixtapes, my friends would be like, yo, you should up Clue or you should up Who Kid to do a collaboration. I was like, nah, I want to get to a level where they hit me up.
That's right? What I always say to him. I want to get to a point where we're not denied. You know what I mean? Yeah, we're
getting and then it happened.
Approached,
and then,
yeah.
You know, it connected with Kay Slay. You guys, rest in peace, Kay Slay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we made a mixtape together and it was fucking, it fucking dominated the streets during that mixtape cycle. And I'll actually tell you a story about me and Kay Slay that is an important story for people that are staying focused on the goal. Mm-hmm. So we were working on a mixtape together and he said, come to New York and we'll work on it at my house. I drive to New York. I'm hanging out for hours. He's not responding to me. He finally responds to me. He's like, yeah, I'll meet you at this time. Never shows up.
Damn.
Then he goes on air at like midnight because he has his show on Hot 97. Mm. So I'm like, fuck, he's here. He's on the radio live, right? So then after the show, I'm like, hey, man, I'm here. He's like, all right, cool. And then nothing. So I sleep in my car overnight. And then the next day I hit him as if like nothing happened. Hey, man, let me know what time you want to connect. And then he blows me off again that day. So I end up, I hang there for 48 hours, nothing. Drive home. Now my friends are revving me up. You should do a diss mixtape against him. Damn. Fuck that dude. That's whack that he made you come down there. This now. I was like, that's not part of my goal.
Yeah.
My goal is to get a mixtape done with him. So I let a week go by. I hit him and I said, yo, act like nothing happened. Yo, what's up, man? You ready to work on this mixtape? I can come to New York whenever you want me to come down. Yeah, bet. Come tomorrow. So I go tomorrow. Drive down again. Sitting there waiting. Same fucking thing happens.
Fuck, jeez.
Where it's like a Wednesday, I think, and I end up staying there in my car again. The next day, I'm hitting him, doesn't respond. I see he read my messages. Then he goes on the radio again that night at midnight.
Jesus Christ.
So now this time, I wait in front of his apartment. So when he comes home from after the radio at like 3 a.m, he pulls up. I'm like, Slay, what up? I jump out, yo, what's up, Sparks? And I was like, yo, let's get this mixtape done. Jump in the car, I got an idea. So he jumps in my car. We drive to Central Park. We go to the middle of real desolate part of Central Park. I'm like, all right, jump out real quick. We jump out. And he's like, yo, what are we doing? As we're driving there, we're driving
down a dirt road.
Yeah, he's like, yo, he's starting to feel suspicious. Yeah, he's like,
what's going
on?
He's
in a car with a bunch of white kids from Boston. Right? So he's like, yo, what the fuck we doing, man? Da, da, da. And I was like, don't worry, Slay, just fucking relax. So we pull, we get out of the car, I jump out. And, you know, one would think like, is something about to go down the way I'm like,
right,
just jump
right,
out.
Right, right.
So then we get out. I'm like, here, take this. I give him a shovel. Right.
Jesus Christ.
And I say, throw this on. And then he puts that on. And then I put one of my friends in the trunk, who's the camera guy. And I go, put your hand on the trunk right here. He's out here like, man, what you doing? I'm a black guy out in Central Park in the middle of the night. Da, da, da. I was like, don't worry. You're with a bunch of white guys. You go, okay.
Yeah, right? You're just fine.
So he laughs. And then, so we both, he like, hold the trunk like this. I get him in position. Cool. Then I stand there. I go, take the picture. All right, Slay, let's go. Jump back in the car. So we jump back in the car. We go to his apartment. I go up to his place. I go, here, read this. Give him a microphone. Give him the whole script to read. Fucking 15 minutes later, I'm like, all right, I'm out. See you later. Go home. I put the whole mixtape together, make the cover, send it back to him. He goes on. Now, you might not understand the significance of this. It would be like Mr. Beast talking about you guys for 1 full hour.
Damn.
Right? So, like, he goes on Hot 97 and fucking plays, like, every record. Because the whole mixtape was pretty much produced by me.
Yep.
Plays all my records. Another one produced by Clint Sparks. Clint Sparks, get familiar. This shit is hot, baby. A whole hour on Hot 97 of hearing my name promoted by one of the most prominent DJs.
Damn.
Now, what's more valuable? Me dissing him and being mad?
Or
sticking to my goal and getting the job done. And look at all the fucking value I got out of that. Which then turned into a lifelong friendship. Turned into me then bringing him to Shade 45, which that's how he got him to Shade 45 because I brought him there. And then always having him as a connection and a friend.
It's crazy to think too, because like people probably hear like, oh, like he shouted you on the radio today, but like don't realize how valuable that was back then.
Yeah.
Because like, I mean,
no, the streets,
obviously the radio now isn't as valuable as it was back then.
And Hot 97 was the number one. Yeah. It's the epitome of getting like credibility and
Can I like Google this picture? Is it out there yet?
Yeah. It's called Kill Yourself.
Nice.
Clinton Sparks and Case Lay.
Let's see if I can
kill yourself.
You pull up the cover. Put it on the clip.
We'll show it up on the screen so you can see that.
I just want to see. If I can't find it right away, then I'll just wait and I'll get a picture.
Clinton Sparks, Case Lay,
kill yourself. Oh, you'll find it, buddy. Real trap shit.
You like that?
I heard you doing that. What were you? Don Cannon's a good buddy of mine.
That's it
right there.
Yeah, I'll have to put it up on the screen.
What is his records?
What is Don his Cannon thing?
The record label?
Generation Now. It's him and DJ Drama.
Oh, isn't that Jack's thing?
Yeah, Jack and Lil Uzi are on that label.
Uzi's over there too.
That's dope. We all go back. The whole crew of people that are making moves now, not like content creators and like YouTube fame, mm-hmm. but like everybody. It's crazy how many of us have been around for 20 years and are still relevant, still killing shit
still
today.
Legit.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's why, because I wanted to talk about like obviously like all your connections, the people you've worked with, because. I mean, your catalog is huge.
Who would we listen to? Tiger and Lil Wayne on the way up?
You Love or something? Is that what it was? Or what was it? UV or something?
Oh, UV Love.
UV Love. We watched the music video. Because I didn't know like you sang and stuff too.
And I directed all my videos too.
That's dope. Yeah, I was like, damn, like just seeing like you with T.I. like that's kind of crazy. But then I see like you did stuff with Lil Wayne, like Eminem. Like, I mean, you could keep going and going. But I mean, I guess what was like, did you have any experiences when you were first coming up with like working with these big guys? You were kind of like, holy fuck, like how'd I get in the situation? Like, this is pretty cool.
No, I always felt like I was supposed to be in the room, yes. And I always was confident what I was pitching or what I had to say.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like a, can I please? Yeah, will you? Yeah,
kind of like telling.
Mine was, it was almost with
people respect that a lot.
It was almost with the urgency of like, you're doing a disservice to yourself if you don't listen to what I have to say to you right now.
I like that.
But I will tell you, I have no regrets pretty much my whole life. And I still don't regret this, but I wonder sometimes like, would my life be different if I handled this moment different?
Yeah.
So I'm in the studio with Memphis Bleek and Jay-Z. And this girl, Donna Grin, who I'm friends with, comes in and she goes, now, first of all, I was there with Bleek because me and Bleek were cool. And then Jay walks in and I'm like, oh shit, Jay-Z's.
Where is it, like a studio?
It was just me, Bleek, and Jay-Z in a studio alone, right? In New York. So Jay comes in, starts hanging out with us. And they're talking about whatever. So then Donna comes in. You know, we're having banter and joking around. And like New York is similar to our sense of humor, course, right? Yeah. So so this girl comes in. She goes, you know what people have been saying to me all day today? I was like, how much? And like, only Jay-Z got
it.
And he laughed, right? And even Donna's like, what? Whatever, Clinton. And he starts talking. And then 5 more minutes go by. She says something else. And I said another like quick sarcasm.
Yeah.
And Jay-Z laughed. Like Jay's like... Right. And then Bleek and Donna didn't catch it. Right.
Yeah.
So then, Jay said a couple of things to me. Oh, we started talking about a remix there was a Tiana Marie remix with Kanye West. And on the song, Jay-Z says, it's called Make a Girl Feel Good, if you want to look it up.
And throw it up there.
And Jay-Z says, get familiar at the beginning of the song.
Damn, that's lit.
And I was like, yo, I want to thank you for saying that on there because everyone thinks I did the remix. Because you said get familiar. And he goes, I had to give you a shout out for all that you've done for Kanye. Because I was a big part of helping Kanye at the beginning. And he knew that. So anyways, as he was leaving, he pokes his head back in and says, Sparks. I go, yeah. He goes, come around more often. I like you, man.
That's dope.
Right?
That must be a good feeling.
And I was like, I'm always so focused on what my goal is that like sometimes those things go past me,
mm-hmm,
right? Because it wasn't part of like,
and
Jay-Z's going to compliment me and want to be with me more. And plus like my life has been so surreal,
mm-hmm.
like so many, like when you guys spin off all these names, it sounds normal, but even me being a broke kid from Dorchester that's like came from nothing, I still, to this day, you might look at it like, he knows everybody. He's done all these things, blah, blah, blah. But like, I still have the mentality like I'm just a fucking loser from Boston trying to get you familiar with me.
Well, that speaks a lot too, because I feel like I kind of have that same sense when people come up to us in public and they're like, oh, you're famous, you're this. It's like, I don't think I'm ever going to feel that way, to be honest. I don't know. Even if we're on fucking Netflix shows, whatever it is, I feel like I'm just going to be a kid that grew up here and that all is a... That all is a credit to growing up here and the family, my family life, all that. So I think that's a great trait to have, because I see some kids on social media, and not even just social media, but whether it be sports or whatever it is, that they get a little bit of, of, they get some wins, and then they just sit on those wins. Then it's like 10 years go by and it's like, oh, remember back in 08 when I did this? It's like, no one gives a fuck about 08 anymore.
It's funny about that is I've grown the ability through the first half of my career, because I've been around so many personalities and so many assholes and dealt with like people from different regions and different races, cultures, like whatever it is, I can pretty much tell after like a minute of talking to you, like who you are, what you're about, will you be around later? Like, and almost every rapper that comes out that I meet, I'll be like, yeah, they won't be here next year. And they never are, ever.
That's interesting.
And there's executives in the music industry too, that I'm like, this guy won't last long. Or even in gaming.
Yeah.
You know, at even at FaZe Clan.
Yeah.
You know, the CEO there at that company, we would butt heads a lot because I just didn't agree with the way that he approached life.
And you that's said what FaZe?
FaZe Clan.
They're like the gaming, right?
Yeah.
Like FaZe Banks. He's from around here, right?
Yeah, yeah. Banks? FaZe Banks. Yeah, Banks is from here. Temper.
Yep. Didn't they like sell their company or something?
That company,
or?
We got that company to $1 billion IPO. Damn. Like I brought Offset, Yo Gotti, Sway Lee, Pitbull, Ray J, Big Boy, like all these names into that company. And I left because, you know, I didn't see eye to eye with the company. Not the founders, not Banks and them. They're different. But Lee, the CEO, who has now been fired a couple of weeks ago, which is like, you know, 4 years too late. But yeah, it's like, you know, some people, it's just about, you know, when someone's not good.
Yeah, right?
And 100%. Like they're not good for the industry. They're not good for the people around. They're not good, especially like there's so much narcissism and ego and just like the ability to not humble yourself or not understand that everybody matters. And even if you think they don't matter, there's something about them that matters. And if you have that ability to say, like, because what most people do is they rank you on the level of your success,
right?
On whether they should listen to you, whether they should hang out with you, whether they should. I've never been that guy.
No, me either.
I'll hang out with anybody, right? Case in point.
Right.
So
I go,
fuck guys.
I went over my head for a second. I'm like, wait, did you really just say that?
but anyways, basically, just treat everybody like they're important because they are.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny because sometimes you might not listen to someone because they're an idiot. Now, I know this is directly contradicting what I was saying earlier about listening to people when you're trying to succeed, but that's different. That's getting advice on your plan and what's going to make you happy. Right. But in life, like just listening even to an idiot, you should listen to, because the least you're going to learn is how not to be an idiot.
How not to be like that person.
Like,
yeah.
Or like, fuck, I don't want to think like that guy, or shit, I'll never talk to someone that way.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
So like, you can learn something from everybody if you care enough to want to listen.
Yeah, no, what big pet peeve for me is when people will, if I'm talking to other people and they're like, oh, this guy follows me, or yo, you got to follow me back, bro. You got to do this for me. You got to do that. It's like, bro, it's like, end of the day, like I want to support people that I fuck with, you know what I mean? And if I don't fuck with you, like you'll probably know quickly, but I treat everyone with respect because I feel like everyone at least deserves that until they give me a reason not to grant it to them. But
even then, here's another thing too. This is going to the next level to that.
Yeah.
This is getting into psychology. But even if you get to a point where like you're not fucking with them, ask yourself why? And then ask yourself, what is it about them, or what deficiencies or inabilities do they have that makes me feel this way about them? And then think about, care enough to wonder why they can't be better, and or take the initiative to help them become better. And that's something I've done my whole career, where like, maybe like, I don't know, maybe there's a dude in the hood that's like, not that smart, right? And I'm trying to help him with something. He's like, man, fuck you, bro. Like trying to da da da. I was like, I don't try to combat that. What I do is dissect why he thinks this way. What about his past? What about his upbringing? What about his surroundings? What about his friend group? And what is it about me that's not making him understand or listen to it? So when you really care, you'll go that deep. And I'll tell you, man, I don't get much hate on the internet, but you know, for every 10 comments that somebody might say something dickish, 9 of them turn around when I DM them.
Me too.
And I hit them, but I don't hit them like combatively.
Nah.
Like I'm like, damn, dude, like, blah, 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 blah. Like, and then it's always either, I didn't know you'd see this.
I didn't know you'd respond. Yeah.
Or like, yo, I'm a big fan of all your shit. I just didn't really like this thing. And I go, yeah, that's cool, man. Like, you're not going to love everything. And I love the fact that you even cared enough to listen to it. I'm sorry that this wasn't the right thing for you. Dude, come on, man. Let's be better. Let's not go diss each other online. Let's make the world better, bro, and not shit on people. Like, I would never shit on you publicly like that. Now I'll go look at their page and I'll be like that video of you playing the guitar. I'm not a fan of it, but I wouldn't say that online.
Right.
You know, if anything, I'd come on DM and be like, hey, man, here's what you can do to make that better.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and like, how can you be mad at that guy that took the time to say that to you? Because I'm genuine about it.
No, it's true. Because that's the same thing with me. Like, I won't hit up someone and be like, oh, you're a fucking pussy. You're this, you're that. It's just like, you hit them up and you'd be like, oh, damn, bro, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to, you know, I didn't mean to, whether it's hurt your feelings or I didn't mean to put some out there you didn't like. Tell me, you know, how I can fix that. Yeah. Or I hope you have a good day, like whatever. Yeah. And it's always, like you said, they'll hit you back saying, didn't think you'd respond, or, actually, bro, I was just joking around.
I actually love your shit.
I actually really love you. I'm actually a fan. Like, then I'm just like confused.
That's like, why would you fucking diss me then? Like,
honestly, though, bro, 90% of the time, I don't even reach out to people. I'm just like, I don't even read comments that much.
I do, because I care. It's not about ego or me. I care so much about people in the world. And I know that people are hurting. Yeah, I know that people are broken. True. I know that people have been raised wrong. Mm-hmm. I know that people's surroundings, like, you know, lead to you having a fucking shitty mentality. I get that because of where I come from. Mm-hmm. So when I see people, it's usually them just lashing out because they're angry, they're hurt, they're insecure. Yeah. They're lacking like attention or love. Look, everybody wants the same thing. They all want an opportunity. They all want to be heard, and they all want love, which comes with a hug, right? Yeah. So everybody wants the same thing. They just, there's different ways of people trying to get it. In some ways, it's just not the right way. So if I care about the world being better, it starts with helping to make people better, even if it's one person at a time. So if, like, there's three people this week that I turned around to look at life differently from a better perspective to be happy, I'm fucking in turn making the world a better place, because now they're hopefully gonna go do something better or nicer to somebody else.
That's true. Where do you like get all of this wisdom or knowledge to give out to people? Like, do you have a mentor that you look up to that taught you all these things, or did you just from life experiences growing up?
Yeah,
so I feel like you're very good at challenging people and giving feedback and like giving advice in general, just from listening to your podcast and even today, like you're good at it.
Well, thank you for that. I don't mean to challenge people. And I also, I'm not sure if it's wisdom or just experience, you know, the life I live, you know, it's kind of like, if you know, you don't like getting slapped in the face, then you've learned that probably no one else likes that either. So I shouldn't slap anybody in the face. Right. So it's like, it's the same thing with life. Like, if you know that this hurts my feelings, this bothers me, I don't want that done to me, or that, then don't do it to anybody else.
True.
And that's what most people, life is easy, man. People make it fucking hard. It's so fucking easy to be happy. It's so easy to do the right thing. It's so easy to listen to other people's like pain or hurt or perspective. And it's so easy to shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? Like, but people don't want to, because they feel like their story is more important, their pain is more important, their fucking idea is better than your idea. And it's like, and maybe it is.
Yep.
But guess what? No one's going to want to listen to you when you're clearly showing you ain't fucking listening to them.
That's
so
true.
You're not. It's going to be harder for you to get your ideas out when you won't listen to somebody else. So if me and you are talking, and I already know I got the killer idea.
Yep.
I don't even fucking need to hear your idea. Yep. I already got it. We're going to get rich. Right?
Right.
But in your mind, you were up all night thinking of what you think is a fucking awesome idea.
Yeah.
Right? You're not going to like my idea as much if I'm like, dude, it doesn't matter what you're thinking. I already got the idea. Yeah. Now you're angry and resentful at me for not even listening, which my idea could be fucking dope, but you're like, fuck Clinton, he won't even listen to me, so fuck his idea.
Yeah, it's just like that ego thinking too, which even that call comes down to communicating, like just communication skills in general.
And then, by the way, I'm a dick too if I don't listen to your idea, because you might improve on my idea.
Right.
Or your shit might be better than mine.
Yeah, it's really just perspective, like the way you look at things, everything, your perception on everything, it's gonna make or break you, because it's you could either look at, to keep it simple, the glass half full or half empty. I can tell who's on the way out. 25 show, check the payout. I ain't going home, I'ma stay out. Motherfuckers hate you when they looking for a way out. I just sit back and let it play out. And she gon' let me hit it any day now. What you gonna say now?